Welcome to the Curious Tech Podcast. This is episode 175 for June 26, 2022, the end of the internet. My name is Hobie Hitting. I'm joined this evening by Devin Rizzo, a very sleepy cat in my arms, and then I think a inebriated cat. Can you be inebriated off of wet food?
I don't know. I gave him wet food because last week he would not shut up.
He was a very chatty boy.
Well, it's the end of the internet as we know it. Internet Explorer is officially dead after 26 years of support. It is no longer a thing.
How does that make you feel, Devin?
I thought Internet Explorer was killed off years ago. I'm surprised it's still alive. Good, finally go away.
As an IT pro, I am very happy. I no longer have to support it anymore.
Though it is funny, my boss did routinely use Internet Explorer up until I had IT disable it for him.
Oh, good. Good. So you got them to just write a little bit of group policy and
yeah, and then I swear every other day he'll call me. How do I do this in Chrome? How do I do this in Edge? Which one's which?
You almost probably just need to remove Chrome at this point and just bring them down to one browser. Eliminate complications.
See, we can't because some of the software we use doesn't work in Edge.
That's so strange because Edge
is literally... It is strange, but it doesn't work. There's this one piece of software that that has to have Chrome.
It's like the application developer wrote something that, like, if user string equals Chrome, then run. I don't know. That's strange.
I don't know, but it's very weird, and it's kind of annoying, but science, you work with old people.
Fair enough. We got rid of our last applications that require Internet Explorer recently, so this particularly makes me happy as a Mac user, because there was one application associated with whitelisting MAC addresses that I would literally have to log into a management box to get to run that application, and that's really annoying to have to load RDP into a machine just to run Internet Explorer just to whitelist a MAC address. So,
well, I remember it was like 2 or 3 years ago, I was on hold with Dell's customer support, and the customer support ladies, please open Internet Explorer. And I was like, really?
No. There's nothing they have that doesn't work.
Yeah, no, I had to escalate the call from, like, the basic, like, tier one support. I was like, I'm not gonna let you run any sort of remote desktop tool onto my laptop via Internet Explorer. No way.
Oh, boy. Well, speaking of Internet Explorer successor, Microsoft Edge gets new Xbox and PC gaming features. PC gaming performance features. Also, xCloud gaming gets a clarity boost feature as well. So, basically, Windows 10 and Windows 11 users will whenever a game is in progress, the browser will stop taking resources when a game is open. So, yeah, basically when you play a game, if you're using Edge and you turn on the improve your PC gaming experience with efficiency mode, you won't have to close your entire web browser out. It'll free up all the resources automatically.
Nice.
Mm-hmm. So, also, there's a gaming homepage for Edge. And that includes gaming news, live streams, Xbox content, and quick access to Xbox cloud gaming. So, obviously, that's a consumer feature. If you're in an enterprise, the Office 365 start page will be the default, but for consumers, that's pretty neat. So, and a clarity boost feature, which you totally, what is that? Do you know?
I don't know what that means.
This is a spatial upscaling feature designed to make Xbox stream games clearer and sharper. Interesting. It's almost like they've written code to make to like optimize Edge for xCloud. Kind of like you know, like the Stadia controller, how the Stadia controller connects directly to like the data center instead of going through your PC. It's almost like they're doing the same thing but for Edge. So
okay.
Yeah, very interesting.
Well, Xbox Cloud Gaming now has mouse and keyboards.
Yes. This is exciting because I'm hoping at one point we will get like PC game support on xCloud. If we do that, then I will probably subscribe to xCloud because as a Mac user, that'd be a pretty cool way to finally be able to play PC games. I could just like run a gaming PC every month.
All right. Well, other things that are dying, Windows 8.1 support.
Yay.
You know, the operating system that everyone wished never existed.
It was the weird phase. It was the wandering through the desert of Microsoft for them to figure out how to make touch work on a laptop or tablet. So they eventually figured it out, and we reap the benefits every day with Windows 10 and Windows 11, but those Windows 8 and 8.1 years were definitely very strange. I'll give it to them for trying something new.
Yeah.
Most really big companies like that cannot pivot to new things, and they've done a really good job of pivoting to, you know what I mean, to touch, to cloud stuff, to cloud gaming, you know what I mean. To Azure, MDM. I mean, they've gotten good at pivoting to new stuff. A lot of big companies just get stuck in their old ways and die. So, this will be the last you see of Live Tiles. Well, actually, correction: if you're using Windows 10, you still got Live Tiles. But
Whenever I got a machine that had Live Tiles, the very first thing I did after I inverted the mouse was disable Live Tiles.
As a Windows
phone, I find them so annoying.
As a Windows phone user, I like them when I like the concept on like a tablet. And like if how do I put it? I like the idea of it, but on a desktop they weren't. I mean, I like widgets. You know, I mean, I'm a widget user. I like lots and lots. I like having a dashboard, but like after Windows Phone went away, it just kind of like, what's the point?
All right.
I like how, yeah, so, pour one out for Windows 8.1. Nobody cares.
All right, so, GitHub is officially launching GitHub Copilot AI. I think as of last week, mm-hmm. It's either going to be $10 a month or $100 a year. It will be free for students and maintainers of popular open source projects.
Mm-hmm.
There are some caveats. I don't know. I liked Copilots. It was fun to play with.
But I wonder.
It wasn't all that helpful to me.
You're not a full-time developer, so.
Yeah, I mean, I talked to a couple full-time developers, but then again, they all had the issue of, it's fun when I'm doing my own projects at home, but you can't use any of this for work stuff.
It'll be interesting to see if companies start adopting this. It almost reminds me of, like, Grammarly. I have to imagine there are going to be lots of discussions at computer science computer science departments around universities about using this as well.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, like, I guess it's plagiarism. Using AI code.
Yeah. But then there was another study that showed 40% of the output from Copilot code had a bunch of security vulnerabilities.
Well, how many security vulnerabilities are on stuff from GitHub?
This is true.
So, I wouldn't use that as necessarily a, you know, I mean, it's, you have to build security in from the very beginning, so,
I don't know, I used it for one specific project that I was doing, just to see if it would help me write a project faster.
Mm-hmm.
And it actually ended up costing me more time because I was having to go through code that I didn't write looking for what didn't match versus if I had written it myself, I would have at least known, okay, I referenced this variable here, here, and here, but I didn't realize that the AI had misspelled something. Or not misspelled, I had spelled it in a different colloquial term, and it was just the word gray.
Mm-hmm.
And Copilot spelled it G-R-E-Y, and I used G-R-A-Y, and it took me hours to figure out what was going
on. Oh, that's funny. Yeah, it'll be interesting to see how it evolves. I mean, all of anything AI-based, the more data you throw at it, theoretically, it should get better with time. So it may be one of those things like Grammarly that it takes a couple of years to build the model up, but once the model's good to go, it may prove invaluable to a lot of people. I know a lot of people that, like, pay $10 a month or $3 a month for Grammarly, and they, like, refuse to part from it. I'm like, I don't know. I'm trying to explain to people that, like, Microsoft's competitor will, I think, eventually be as good as Grammarly. It's, like, confusing people, but I'm just like, we'll revisit this later. I was like, the model's not as... not as robust yet, so let's come back to this thing in a couple of years and we'll see. Microsoft has a really big data set from the Microsoft Office 365 usage, so yeah, we'll see. Oh man. Alright, so new Google News.
So I didn't actually know that Google News had a desktop client until you sent me this last week. But Google News for desktop is more newspaper-like.
It's a newspaper? Would you describe it as a newspaper? Do you even know what a newspaper is?
I know what a newspaper is.
Okay. Fair child of summer.
I know what a newspaper is, thank you. I'm not that... Do I get the point of physical newspapers? No, not at all.
Well, we didn't have the internet at first, so people
had I'm to aware. I'm aware I grew up in the era of the internet. But now that the internet is widely available, why do we cut down so many trees printing out the newspaper?
So for some reason people like physical books, I guess.
See, that's different. That is so much different.
It's fundamentally the same thing.
Not really. Like, a book is something you can go, you can store, you can collect, it's something you can go back to. Last 2 weeks ago is Tuesday, newspaper, none of it's relevant.
It's relevant to historians and whatnot, so. They're both useful in their own ways.
I've never purchased a newspaper other than when my mother told me to purchase a newspaper because I was eight.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think I've ever read a physical newspaper.
We briefly had the newspaper when I was a kid, when the Press Register, which was Mobile's local paper at the time, But they had some kind of deal, so we got like the paper super affordable for like a year or two. So what's different about the new Google News other than it looks like?
I couldn't tell you because I didn't know this existed until like Thursday.
Okay, well, I'll take the lead on this one. The new news has a greater emphasis on local news in particular. So local news will show up as a sidebar on the right. Weather is more prominent in the top right. You got your home, your for you sections that you can toggle back and forth with, and then you can follow different you can choose what different topics you want to follow, including saved searches and magazines. Apparently, magazines are in here. Okay. Some poor person at Google works on magazines, and they're the only people. More importantly, you got tabs at the top for like business, US world news, local technology. They're still doing the full coverage thing, which has always been a big strength of Google News for the last like 5 years or so, that you can click full coverage and it'll show you the top news for a particular topic, and then it'll break it down by like interviews, in-depth, Twitter stuff, and then all coverage, including like how the story has evolved over time. So, and you can sort by relevance and by date. So if you haven't heard about something and you're reading about it for the first time, you can click sort by date and it will start from the very beginning, kind of like lead you through the evolution of the story, which is neat.
See, all this time, I've used Google News forever. I just thought it was an app. I didn't know there was a desktop client.
Yeah, it started off as a desktop client.
Good to know. I'll still probably not use it.
It's more customizable, so, like, I turned off sports, and I added the science section, so, because I just don't care about sports that much, so.
Alright, well, Chrome on iPhones are going to get better protection against malicious websites.
Oh, really?
Yay, enhanced safe browsing.
Yeah, I've actually turned that on. Also, you can now use Chrome on iOS as your default password handler, even if you're using Safari.
Thanks.
Yeah, because I have some people who like Safari on the iPhone, but they use Chrome on the desktop, and they want all their passwords synced, and boom, there you go.
All right, well, Google Maps is adding labels to its businesses. If you are a verified business owner in Google Maps, you can label your business as LGBTQ-owned, women-owned, small business. You have outdoor seating. And all this can be readily available to users looking for places to go.
Oh, very cool. Let's see. Also, being the year of the Google ecosystem push, there's been an update for Chromebooks that adds recent photos to the phone hub. So if you have an Android phone and a Chromebook, not only can you see your recent tabs, you can quickly turn on hotspot, silence the phone, and even locate the phone from your Chromebook device. You can see a little carousel, the last few photos that you've taken on your phone. They've also announced that FastPair is coming to Chrome OS devices later this summer, which allow you to, it's kind of like whenever you pair like AirPods to a Mac, it's just like this little pop-up window that lets you instantly connect. So it's part of the whole like better together push right now for Chrome OS and Android devices. Fitbit is now categorizing sleep with cartoon animals. I love this, and I want more of this.
I don't understand this, and have no desire for this.
I want emoji-based, you know what I mean, sleep profiles on my Apple Watch. I want to, like, be like, oh, hey, you're a grumpy dinosaur today, or you're a sleepy cat. I think this is delightful and fun, and I want more of this. Also, premium users will get a monthly sleep profile. So,
including... I have had really weird results with sleep tracking. It never says I'm sleeping. Unless I'm sitting at my desk. Like, I will wear it and go to sleep, and it'll say I slept 13 minutes. But if I'm sitting at my desk at work, it thinks I'm taking naps.
So weird, because it works for your dad, doesn't it?
Yeah, it works just fine for my dad.
I wonder if you have, like, a faulty watch.
Maybe, but I also really don't care. I know I don't sleep well, and I don't really need a watch to tell me to sleep more, because that's not going to influence anything.
Well, you don't know that. So, I mean, your watch has, over the last couple of years, affected your health. Did you ever install Water Reminder?
No.
You should install Water Reminder.
That what is that again?
If it reminds you to drink water, and it tracks water. It's available for Android and iOS. It's a really nice application, and I think it works for Wear OS via notifications.
See, now that's more helpful than sleep. Because I can make a conscious decision to drink water versus another energy drink. Versus going to bed before 2 a.m.
Well, the way that Apple does it, it's not like... it'll be interesting to see how Google handles this with Fitbit. But Apple, it's more tied into like your alarm system. So you set like a goal of like, I would like to be an adult and get... I don't know. How much sleep do adults get?
I don't know.
Seven to 8 hours.
Four and a half.
Most people get 7 to 9 hours of sleep a night. So, like, I tell my watch, I'm like, I want 7 hours of sleep. And whenever I go to set my alarm, my Apple Watch is like, hey, you probably do want to go to bed around 1 o'clock in the morning. Instead of, 2 o'clock in the morning, because you're not going to hit your sleep goal, so.
See, I don't understand that. Not that I don't understand it. There's not enough time in the day. Because if I want to get 8 hours of sleep, if I get up at 6, I'm going to have to be in bed by 10. And half the time, I'm not even home by 10. Like, there's not enough time in the day.
You still probably need more than 4 hours of sleep at night. So. But.
Going back to the map. Apparently it is wildfire season.
Yes.
And Google Maps can now help you find fresh air.
Well, it'll tell you the air quality.
Yes.
I think that Apple Maps does the same. Yep, Apple Maps does the same. No, interesting. What is this about purple air?
So they're this foundation. I don't know a whole lot about them, but they have a network of sensors that report hyper local conditions at the street level.
Mm-hmm.
And it's integrated in Google Maps to help you with help tell the air quality.
Oh, okay. That's neat. Quality index. If I lived out west, I would care more about this. But knock on wood, we have to care more about like humidity here and UV index than we do about that. So this is neat, but I care more like it will when I visit an area, is it going to feel like my skin is melting off versus am I going to be choking to death?
It is June in Texas and 105 daily, and I am thriving.
Yeah, that sounds miserable.
I absolutely love it, and it's always breezy in my office at lunch. I go and just like sit in the parking lot. Like, and I photosynthesize all the glorious sun.
All right, so what is this about Google Plus? I mean, Google and Wikimedia.
Google is now paying the Wikimedia Foundation for better access to information. Yeah, so they're paying them to help serve up accurate and up-to-date information on the search engine. And the Wikimedia Foundation is the nonprofit group behind Wikipedia. And so it allows customers like Google to reuse massive chunks of information. And, yeah.
Very interesting. Oh, good. Because didn't Wikipedia get annoyed at Google for, like, scraping Wikipedia without permission?
Yes.
Oh, I think this is a... It's good for Wikipedia. They need the donations, and it's good that Google's finally, you know, paying for all the traffic they're scraping. So,
well, now that they're paying them, Wikimedia is developing tools for them to have better access to it, their data, versus having to scrape the internet and use sketchy APIs.
That's good. It is as if Google is a major company that has the resources and money to pay for stuff now instead of being a tiny, tiny startup.
Okay, this is a good step. Now Amazon and Google need to have some sort of arrangements.
And then Amazon and Apple have some kind of arrangement.
You know, let's get all these big FANG companies to go sit down and all play nicely together.
Because, as an end user, it can be frustrating a lot.
Kind of like this watch from Montblanc. It is the only other Wear OS 3 smartwatch on the market that is not Samsung owned. But it might as well not exist because it starts at $1,200.
What, Evan? You don't want the Montblanc Summit 3?
Looks just like a Samsung.
No, it doesn't.
It looks a lot like a Samsung
watch. It looks nothing like a Samsung watch.
It looks like a sophisticated Samsung watch.
It looks nothing like a Samsung watch. The lug system is very different. It has this gigantic spinnable crown. It has the two buttons top to bottom.
It doesn't have a spinnable crown anymore.
I think it has a spinnable crown.
No.
Are you sure? That looks like it twists.
I am looking at it right now. It does not look like it twists.
It looks like it twists to me. Well,
you have the bruise. It does not look like it twists.
Why would it not twist if it had grooves?
What grooves? I don't see any grooves.
It has like little grooves in it.
Are you looking at the same article I am?
Yes, the first non-Samsung watch. It looks like that crown twist. Rotating crown with integrated pusher.
Okay, fine, whatever. But it's still over $1,000.
Yeah, watches be expensive. So they're fashion items. So yeah. It looks like they're premium materials for what it's worth. And they're not just like, you know, I mean, at least it's like stainless steel and titanium bodies, I guess. But still, I agree. I would not pay that much money for a smartwatch.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, and it uses Poco pens. Ooh, don't like that. But it is Wear 3, and it has stuff like sleep tracking, sleep monitoring, blood oxygen measurement, and workout tracking. Google Maps supplies the directions. Google Pay offers payments. So you don't have any of the Samsung stuff on top.
Yeah.
Yeah. So you pay extra for no Samsung stuff.
But $1,000 extra.
Yeah, just wait for the Pixel Watch. That comes out in a couple months.
Assuming it comes out in a couple months.
It's going to come out in a couple months. Stopping the negative Nancy.
I've been burned by Google. We've been waiting for this watch for how many years?
This watch has been rumored for a number of years. It has never officially been announced. So you've only, you've read the rumors and gotten disappointed because of rumors, but it's never officially been announced.
I don't know. Something that has been announced is Slack Huddles. It is a video chat, multi-user screen sharing chat thread. It's like walking to somebody's desk virtually.
So it's like an ad hoc call feature?
Pretty much.
I don't know. I like that idea. I don't know. I wish Teams had that feature, because when you click the quick meet button, it wants to instigate a full meeting. So it'd be nice to have a little microphone button just to be able to audio in into a channel.
Mm-hmm.
I suspect that may be common, because Teams has the concept of a walkie-talkie now. So but that's right now that's only a mobile, but you can attach a walkie-talkie to a particular Teams channel. So they're building out the infrastructure to do this, but it doesn't seem like it's quite there yet. But I don't know. It looks weird. I don't like the UI.
I like it.
I don't like the screen sharing UI.
That's just you being picky, though.
Maybe. It's okay.
It's better than having a full-out Zoom meeting, full-out Teams meeting.
Maybe. Maybe that's the point of the UI.
Yeah, I don't think it's supposed to be amazing to where you're going to end up on just another meeting.
Maybe so. I would have to play with it. Yeah, okay. Yeah, it seems like it's set up that way by design.
Mm-hmm.
Interesting. Cool.
Well, Amazon has designed and announced its first fully autonomous mobile robot that is meant to move large carts throughout the warehouse, and it is called Proteus, and it is lime green.
Okay. They've been using these in their warehouses for years. Is this available for purchase?
No, this is strictly an Amazon thing. But this one is different because it's able to safely navigate around human employees, unlike its other robots, which kind of had to kept its own cage. Yeah. Yeah. And so it has this eerie kind of green light that projects in front of it. And if a human steps into it, the robot just stops. And then there's another robotic system that they've announced. It's called Cardinal, which is a robotic arm that can lift packages up to 50 pounds, which they hope to deploy in their warehouses sometime next year.
Give me one second. So, next story is long-form tweets.
Yes. You can tweet long.
So this is a feature that they're working on called Twitter Write. And basically, it's like blogging, but on Twitter. I don't know. How do you feel about this?
I don't really. I mean, I don't care, but at the same time, why?
So people stop taking screenshots.
That's what threads are for. Literally what threads are for. I've never understood people who type out a thing in Apple Notes, screenshot it, and post it to Twitter. Just make it.
Formatting. And threads just kind of came out. I mean, threads is still a new feature, so.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I use Medium for my blogging, so. Because I kind of like that I can cross-post from Medium to Twitter, so. I'm sorry, Medium to Twitter to LinkedIn, so. Interesting. Maybe if, like, your entire audience is, like, Twitter. Or, like, you're a Twitter influencer, I could see it being useful.
I can see this being useful. I can see this being just a fun blog. I guess your blog is also on your Twitter.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, like, take it or leave it.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah, we'll see. I'm just like, we'll hide spaces.
Yeah, I don't like spaces.
I like spaces, but, like, I want more control over what spaces I see. Like, tech spaces, like I participated in a WWDC one. That was really fun. I don't want to see all the NFT spaces. I would just like to be able to, like, block some users from ever seeing any of their spaces, because NFTs are just the worst. So,
like, I just open up spaces on my phone right now, and my suggested spaces are Oregon football, NFT and chill, something about financial inflation, current legislation. Celebrity crap, crypto, the stock market, and Russia. Like, I want nothing to do with any of this.
Mine are chain smoking from a balcony. It's NFTs. Good. Yeah. Let's see. Looks like crypto. YouTube creators is going to have a Twitter space. Oregon football, NFT and chill. I'm getting a lot of that stuff too. So, I don't know. I've also seen it around, like, Obi-Wan and other TV shows, people chatting about that kind of stuff. So, Sunday's not a good time for Twitter spaces, but yeah, I would like more control over Twitter spaces to, like, sort them and make them disappear if one is annoying me, particularly a mobile, so.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, so apparently Twitter is also making it easier for your profile page to advertise what you're selling via a Shopify integration.
Fun.
Oh, I think this will be pretty cool for people who make stuff.
I like that it's not super invasive.
Yes, I like that you have to, like, go to their profile page and they have to set something up, and it's not like the shop tab on Instagram, which mine recently disappeared, and I am so happy.
Mm.
Okay. Do you still have the shop tab?
Unfortunately.
I no longer have the shop tab. I now have a messenger tab. Like a chat tab. So the
I hate it.
Hmm? Yeah, they moved, for me on the iPhone, they moved messenger icon from the very tippity top down to the bottom bar. Mm-hmm. So which I appreciate because that is if I use that button way more often than I do I've ever bought anything off of Instagram. So cool. So IKEA scene scanner.
Yeah, so this is cool. IKEA now has an app to let you scan your room using their app, the IKEA app, erase your existing furniture, and then place down virtual furniture in space. And if you don't want to scan your own home, there are over 50 virtual showrooms you can play with furniture.
Oh, interesting. So,
and then, of course, you can buy said furniture.
Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, that's the whole purpose of the
mm-hmm.
That's cool, though. So I could see you really using cool. that. I could see you using that in the future.
Mm-hmm.
Y'all have an IKEA in Texas?
Several, but they're all multiple hours out.
Oh, my okay.
For Tupperware's from IKEA.
Well, I know some people that when they get their first apartment, they'll go to IKEA and they'll pick up all the stuff for the apartment and then drive back and install all the stuff in the apartment. So, yeah, that's pretty cool. I like all the augmented reality, like, furniture stuff. I've used that for, like, Amazon and Best Buy whenever I bought a TV or I bought some furniture.
Hello.
Do we have a buddy? Oh, we got a buddy.
We have an orange boy.
He is an orange boy.
Mm-hmm. Did you shut the door behind you?
Yeah. He came for kisses.
You smell like what?
He's got stinky cat breath.
Do you have stinky cat breath? Yes, you do. Yes.
So, Philips Hue announced a swath of new products, including a new tap dial switch, which is like a little dial switch that you can install that has four buttons, and you can twist it to fade, make your lights fade up and down. The tap dial switch is $50 and it comes in matte black or white. They have now track lighting if your home or apartment has that. That makes individual rails and you can choose the length of the track. And also, there is now a indoor outdoor Hue Go portable lamp that is quite the mouthful. It is pricey, $160, but it does have a 48-hour battery life that you can recharge with the charging base. Out of all of these, I dig the lamp.
I don't understand the point of the dial.
What do you mean? The dial's awesome.
I mean, if you have smart lights, you've got a home assistant. So why do you need a physical button to have a voice?
Guest and also physical buttons are nice as well. I have both.
I have zero desire for the physical button.
I use the physical buttons all the time.
Track lighting is cool. I might put track lighting in the kitchen. And then the lamp I will purchase.
The lamp is pretty cool. I like how you can just pick it up and take it with you.
Thank you, Paul.
I want to see more photos of the lamp, though, because the photos, the press photo, it looks like it just looks like 2D clip art, the coloring of it. I don't know. It doesn't look like a real lamp in the photos that this in the article.
Why not sit on the keyboard?
So, screen time for TikTok?
Yes. So if you are prone to doom scrolling or just endless scrolling, you can set up a screen. You can set up notifications in the new screen time dashboard to summarize your usage and encourage you to take breaks.
Yeah, that's good. I don't really use TikTok. I currently have people send me TikToks, but this is good.
And then for teenagers, the app will automatically prompt them to get off and go outside or something if they are using more than 100 minutes of the app in a single day.
Fair enough. I mean, as an adult, I watch probably more than 100 minutes of YouTube a day, so I understand. I probably watch YouTube more than I do any other streaming service, so.
Cool.
Two more stories, and then we'll move on to our picks of the week. So Telegram Premium has finally come out. It is $5 a month for bigger uploads, faster downloads, and exclusive stickers. And as a way to just generally support Telegram, there will be no ads in public chats. You'll get a fancy verified badge, and a few other little like improvements. I don't know. I like how they've done it. I have not bought it yet, but I don't know. Have you purchased Telegram Premium?
I have not.
The voice to text is kind of cool, but like, I wish it were like a little bit cheaper. But then again, I don't use like any of the public parts of Telegram, so like, I'm fine. Oh, you get custom icons, which is nice. But I really only use Telegram for like my close friends, so. And I really don't even use the group chat feature, to be honest with you. So
I use group chats and Telegram all the
time. Interesting. I just use it for like, you know, I mean, 3 or 4 of my closer friends. So but yeah, if you're a Telegram user, you can now help pay for it. So but all the features that you currently know and love in Telegram are not behind a paywall. It's just like all this new extra stuff that people will be getting, so you don't have to worry about kind of getting a degraded experience. So, or you're not going to see ads in like private chats. So, last and maybe least because of the market share, because I don't know who owns a Polestar, but I have seen them in the mall.
I don't know what Polestar is.
Polestar is like a Tesla competitor. So they're making EVs. So,
okay.
Yeah. So just another EV maker. They got sedans. they can be pretty nice. They're actually more affordable than I anticipated. I mean, they're like Model 3 territory, but just another EV competitor, which I think competition is good. Oh, it looks like they also have an SUV, like a crossover, which actually looks pretty nice. So, yeah. Anyway, Polestar. Polestar has added CarPlay as an over-the-air update. So. Beforehand, Polestar does run off of the new Android Automotive. So the Polestar is interesting because like their version of CarPlay, like I've never seen like that bottom navigation bar. It's normally on the left hand or the right hand depending on your region. But I'm wondering, like Polestar is I think based in the Bay Area, so. I'm wondering if like maybe they work with Apple to do that custom little bar at the bottom, but because it fits the screen a lot better than it does on like a Ford Mustang Mach-E or like a Ford F-150 Lightning. So it's interesting. So, but yeah, Polestar. I think I've seen one driving in San Diego whenever I visited last year. And I definitely saw one on the mall. So, but yeah, there we go. That's our last story. Is there any other stories you would like to talk about? All right, so we're going to move on to our picks of the week. I'm going to go first because I totally forgot to warn Devin about this, but, you know, we're not covering any big keynotes. So my my pick of the week is an application basically for, like, the new grade of Apple laptops. It's from the developer of CleanShot, which is a really excellent screenshot utility. And basically, it is called Top Notch. And what it does is it makes the notch disappear like a ninja or a ninja emoji. So it's just a little tiny mini bar application that is free. And it basically, all it does is it gets rid of the notch for you and turns that entire top mini bar into a top border, kind of like you had in the past. So if the notch is still bothering you, you can enable this. It also will do stuff like around the corners for you. It can basically work across multiple displays. It's smart enough now that they recently, a few months ago, added an update so you can have, like, the black bar on just your laptop screen, but then leave your other external monitors separately. It supports dynamic wallpapers. So as the day, you don't have to, it's an entirely self-managed app now. You don't have to, like, make it refresh like you used to. But if the notch bothers you and you kind of want a more, like a cleaner look, you can do that. Your menu bar items do remain, though. So, like, it just makes this nice little, like, floating effect so that, like, your menu bar up top, sorry, your, not menu bar, I'm tired. Yes, your menu bar on the top right, but then also, like, your little macOS menus on the left. Well, they kind of appear like they're floating here. It's a really cool effect, but screenshots don't really do it justice. So it's free. You can download it from topnotch.app. Keep in mind, don't be freaked out whenever you run it for the first time and it asks you permissions to, like, record your screen. It's got to record your screen to be able to superimpose stuff. So they're a credible developer. But just be aware that it's not malware whenever an app asks. Basically, that is, like, how the app is having to run, is it's having to watch your screen. So you have to get permission to watch your screen to overlay the black bar. So anyway, don't be freaked out if you see that. It's not being malicious. But anyway, it's topnotch.app and it is free. So. All right, Evan, do we have a pick from you?
And it is going to be the new LEGO Star Wars Skywalker Saga game. I don't think I've actually picked it yet, but I think it came out. We've only recorded, like, once or twice since.
Mm-hmm. I don't think you actually had it as a pick yet, because you have talked about it many times, but you've never actually. I don't think it was out whenever you were talking about it. You were just talking about, like, your excitement about the game.
Yes, it is out. I've had it. I have it. It is so big. The game is just so big. You get to play across all 9 episodes. And there are 12,000 Kyber bricks. Who knows how many side quests. 300 characters to unlock. 100-something ships to unlock. And then, of course, it's got all the fun comical antics. Like stormtroopers in hot tubs. And droids taking oil baths and exploding coffee makers on the Death Star. That and all the fun comical stuff that only LEGO is gonna have.
Nice. So does it come with DLC, or do you have to pay for the DLC?
The DLC is only character packs, which you do have to pay for unless you buy the physical deluxe version.
Mm-hmm.
The physical deluxe version, all of
them. Nice. So, like, what kind of custom characters do you get?
There is characters from Bad Batch, characters from Mandalorian, characters from Boba Fett. If the Nintendo webpage would load, I would tell you more.
Oh, don't mind you. Don't mind me. Oh, holy cow. That Republic gunship, the new one, is very large.
But I can't load anything in Chrome because it's been crashing for the past 20 minutes saying I don't have to run or not.
Oh, gotcha. There's a new Republic
gunship. I need to reboot, but we can't do that.
Yeah, probably not. Oh, fair enough. Very cool. So what platforms is it available for?
It is on PC, Switch, PS4 and 5, and I think Xbox.
And PC.
I said PC.
Oh, did you say PC? I'm so sorry. I didn't know. What platform do you play it on?
Switch.
Oh, cool. There's no differences, is there?
There's no difference.
I guess like the PlayStation 5 version would be in 4K, but that's probably the only difference. Or is it all 1080p?
I think it's all 1080p, actually.
Oh, okay. I'll have to read up on that. I'm tempted. It looks fun.
It is.
Can you play multiplayer?
Yes, you can. It's local.
Oh, no. Okay. Well. Oh, well. Still, I mean, no, honestly, whatever. It's fine. I'm happy there's local multiplayer because I know there are families and kids that will have hours of fun playing local multiplayer and not having to buy multiple copies of this game.
I have been playing it pretty intensely, and I've gotten through the first 6 episodes, and I'm only 30% through all of it, if that gives you any kind of context, which is much content this game has.
Didn't they like change the combat a little bit or something along those lines?
No, not really.
Well, like it's like a new over the head view, isn't it?
No.
It's different from the other games. I know this because I watched an interview.
I don't know.
Yeah, it's- I think when you
played a Lego Star Wars game.
I think it's different. Yeah. I'll have to send you the video. Yeah. They made the action a little bit more action packed. So
okay.
less puzzle solving, more action y.
Oh, there is a lot of combat.
Yeah, a lot more combat, less puzzle solving. So
gotcha. There's still plenty of puzzle solving.
Okay, that's good to know. But it's not so, like, puzzle-solvy heavy, I guess.
I honestly don't remember the original games.
Fair enough. I just remember watching an interview, so. So you've defeated General Grievous?
I have.
Nice. I'm sorry, what episode are you on now?
The 7th.
Okay, nice. And how long is each episode typically?
You know, I couldn't really tell you. Most of the time, I'm trying to min-max the game. And so whenever I get a chance to go explore other areas...
Stop. Whatever you're doing.
Rescuing a cat. He's trying to go fire.
Trying to parkour his way out.
What are you doing? What are you doing?
Well, my entire web browser just crashed too, so I think it's I think our web browsers are mutually telling us we should probably end the episode now.
It is 10:30 and I still haven't had dinner.
Oh, no. You should go have some dinner. I feel bad. I'm so sorry.
You're fine.
Ooh. One of the people I follow on Twitter built the Lego Optimus Prime. Oh, that's so cool. I want that so badly. I want to buy him. All right. So where on the internet can we find you, Devin?
You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at DevinJCR.
Mm-hmm. And you can find me on the internet at Hobie Henning on Medium, Instagram, and Twitter. So with that being said, take us home.
All right. Well, we hope you enjoyed the episode. Until robot season starts, we're going to be pretty regular. And until next time, stay safe. Don't get COVID or monkeypox or any other weird virus going around. And until next time, stay curious.